This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up?
Ahoy, friends.
What's going on?
Just basking. Basking in the WNBA draft. I can't get enough. You kidding me?
What?
I can't. The WNBA draft, man. Get excited.
Should I be betting on this?
Are we? Yes, you should be.
Whoa.
And are we not
who's
dedicating?
That? Wait, who's that?
Paige Buckets,
that's Paige Buckets. Are we not dedicating like at least 3 of our 4 hours to the WNBA draft?
Can I just say she looks way different when she's not playing basketball?
Well, I think a lot of them do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I think last year's draft really blew people away.
Yeah, they glam it up a little bit.
Yeah, she looks good.
Well, nowadays, man, you don't make money on the court, you make money off the court. So you got to spruce it up a little
how
bit.
How much do you think she got paid to carry that bag?
A lot.
She's carrying a handbag, but she's not. It's not like a purse.
No.
With handles.
Mm-hmm.
She's just carrying it under her arm, like books.
She got paid. They're saying she's not like Caitlin Clark, but she's a needle mover. I mean, she signed more money for that whatever that 3-on-3 league is. She signed more for 1 year of that than
unrivaled.
She got. Unrivaled.
I saw that. So she's gonna go, and that's in the off season.
Yeah, they play. Some of them play in both. So she's gonna make more in 1 year of that than she will in 4 years in the WNBA.
Well, good for her, man.
Yeah, I mean, hey, make your money.
Cash damn checks.
You don't make any money. The WNBA is like rookie salary is like 60 grand or something. So,
Yeah, I think they said with her being the projected number one, 78,000 maybe
for
her.
The number one pick. So, if someone else is paying you, 400 grand to go play 3-on-3 or whatever, go do it. And you don't have to because you can't play in Russia anymore. They used to go over in Russia and make their money, but can't do that because of that whole Britney situation. The political prisoner.
Not
thing.
Spears.
No. The Griner.
How's she doing?
Not well.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, Brittany's in bad.
She's been popping up on the socials. She's
in
posts all these weird videos and
meltdown.
Not good.
Well, we screwed her up. It's not really her fault.
No, Biebs is going through it right now, too.
Yeah, well.
That's right.
Yeah, he screwed him up, too.
Yeah. Turns out being like the world's most famous person at 14.
Yes.
And then being sexualized at 14 by
yes,
old people.
That's right.
Turns out.
It's not healthy.
Not good. Who knew?
I advise against
who
it.
Who knew?
Although, do you think that either of them would trade their lives?
That's a good question. I don't know. Brittany might. I mean.
Brittany might.
It's bad. I think Biebs is cresty. Look, Biebs was hanging out with Diddy. Stuff happened to Bieber.
There's some uncomfortable old videos with them that are. Like,
dude, stuff.
Stuff.
Happens.
I feel for both of them.
So I don't know. I mean, you have more money than you can ever spend. You never have to work a day in your life, but you're a crippled human being. Do you trade that? Now, you don't trade it now at 40 something, but if you told 14 or 15 year old me, hey, you're going to be a little messed up and you're going to have some lifelong trauma, but I'm going to give you $500 million. I think there's a lot of kids that take that deal, unfortunately. And then this is what happens. So I don't know. And their families all sold them up the river. I mean, they're the families of the one that knew what was going on. And they're like, oh, here's my kid. Let's be rich.
Well, I hope your day's going well.
Yeah. Let's just take Rory. He was exploited as a kid, but in a good way. And now he's playing golf.
Yeah.
He was like 4 years old on Irish talk shows, hitting golf balls in a washer and dryers.
Well, so was Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
Yeah. Well.
On the Johnny Carson show.
I think Tiger would take it. I think Rory would take it. I mean, yeah, it screwed up a little bit, but for the most part, Perkins waitresses aside, I think it's turned out all right.
See, I feel like Tiger's way more screwed up than Rory.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
If I'm Rory, I mean, that's kind of what I loved about him. You know, we got a lot of Masters talk today. You know the whole thing, but
oh yeah,
it's kind of what I love about him is that he kind of is, like, when you watch Tiger win, it was amazing to watch his feats, right? Like, he was unbelievable. Yeah. He was like watching Jordan. Yes. Like, that is something that very few people have, right?
Yes.
Particularly mentally. Rory's not like that. Rory is just... He's just a dude who happens to be a world-class golfer.
Yes.
And so...
But he's fragile in a way that Tiger wasn't.
Well, he's human.
Yes.
Yes.
Tiger was a cyborg.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Watching Tiger and Michael Jordan, and maybe Kobe Bryant had a little bit of this, but like there's... You can count on two hands athletes that have that. Mm-hmm. You can't relate to that. No. Like, it's just... It's amazing to watch, but you can't relate to it. Rory is the most relatable sports figure, maybe just because I'm a golfer.
No, I think
dude,
right.
He is so relatable.
Yeah.
He's so human. He hits shots that I would hit. He hits shots that would be bad for me. I mean, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, and he's willing to admit it too.
Yes.
Like when he comes out and says that he was nervous as hell going into Sunday, and he double bogeys one, and he actually said that kind of locked me back in. Like it shook me and was a wake up call. And yeah, he talks about his nerves, whereas, you know, every other, no one will admit weakness.
Right.
Like, I remember getting ready for the NFL Combine, and they do like media coaches, right? When you're having interviews with personnel guys. And one of the questions they always ask you is like, what's your biggest weakness? And they're like, you never admit a weakness. You're like, you make your weakness into you work too hard or you care too much, right? You never, it's the most ridiculous crap in the world. As opposed to, yeah, sometimes in big moments, I have a little fear pee. Like, you never admit that. And so for Rory to be one of the few guys that's like, dude, I am shaking in my shoes out there at times. And we know his history. I'm with you. I think it's one of the reasons he's so relatable. I must have heard, you know, 50 prominent media types and athletes all saying, Rory won, but he's not the guy. Because we want, those guys all want the douchey cyborg. They want the shark, the killer. And Rory isn't that. And while for some people that's a major turnoff because it doesn't, it flies in the face of the hyper-masculine, I have no fear. For a lot of us, me included, I love it. Because it's like, yeah, I get scared. I do choke. I do let the moment get too big at times because that's a human emotion. And I think that, for me, is why Rory is one of my favorite golfers ever.
Yeah, I mean, all that said, I think that's funny that people think that about him. You know, and that's right in a sense that if you're comparing him to Tiger.
Yeah.
But he's still won 5 majors.
Yeah.
He's still the best guy out there when he's on his game. Mm-hmm. And that is a really mean golf course. It's tricky as hell. And some of the shots he was hitting were insane.
Yes.
Under unimaginable pressure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could say, oh, you know, he's not Tiger. That's fair. But I mean, dude, he came through.
Yeah.
I know he tried to lose it a few times with some. This is the fun of him.
Yeah.
But you know, he still did it. Like I feel a little defensive of him today because of that. What you just said, that's bullshit, dude. Yeah. He still won that thing. Yeah. How could someone be tested more than that guy?
But I guess
mentally, how could anyone be tested? And he did it.
Nobody. But here is where his detractors, no one tested him. He tested himself.
That's fair.
He had
That's fair.
He had at least 6 opportunities to either not melt down or to seal away the tournament. In fact, that was at 15 where he had the 7-iron that he hooked around the trees from 210. Was that 15?
That was 15.
That is, by the way, can we talk about a 210-yard 7-iron bent around the trees that landed 8 feet from the hole?
Underneath one limb rises and turns over. 7-iron. 207.
207.
Come on. 6-iron yesterday set up an eagle. Is this enough? It is. Oh, here it comes.
Goosebumps.
The shot of a lifetime.
Shot of a lifetime.
When he needed it most.
And that, by the way, he had under 10 feet for an eagle.
And he missed it.
And he missed it. Now, he had the tap and birdie in that game back to lead, but that's what I'm like. Yeah. Everyone's going to be like, dude, you had a chance right there and then to have one of the greatest golf shots that will be remembered. Everything on the line. You've gacked the lead away. Rose came back to you. It's now tied. You step up. You hit this amazing shot. And what they say is, if you're an all-time great, you sink the eagle putt, flip everyone the double bird, and you walk off into the sunset. But you don't. And I think that's where the detractors come from, saying it's one thing if Rose is pushing him or if Scheffler or DeChambeau, but they weren't. The ones that, although, look, give Rose some credit, the one that pushed him was himself because he refused to grab the tournament.
Fair.
And I think that's where some of the criticism
for him
comes in.
I get it, but you still have to hit the shot. Like, even if no one's pushing you, if you have a 3-shot lead, it is pressure packed.
Yeah.
And it is really, really, really hard. Yeah. Again, I think you're comparing him to Tiger or Jack.
You are.
And he's just not them. But he's not that type of assassin. Under the most, and a lot of the pressure is not just that tournament. It's 11 years of him failing and really wanting. Like, I can't say that I knew how much he really wanted that. Yeah. Until I saw him fall to his knees on 18. And I was just like, dude, I'm not kidding. I teared up.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I am so freaking happy for that guy. Cause he clearly wanted that. But I don't know. I just, he's unbelievable, but right. He is missing something. And he admits it. There's something upstairs. He's more wired like the regular people. Yep. And that's what makes him even better to me, is that he's just a regular dude who happens to be a world-class golfer, and he's still, with all that pressure, went out and took care of it when nobody thought he could. And even he tried to get in his own way, and he still did it. Like, that to me is so freaking impressive. And the no quit. Yeah. You know, like, he could have easily just completely spiraled.
Yes.
5 times.
He never did.
And he never did.
Always
and
rebounded.
That is what I love about that guy.
Even 18, right? He misses the putt, and you're like, I really was sitting there, and I'm like, well, there it goes. I'm like, there's no way he wins.
Did you hear
this.
What he said in the cart going to the playoff?
What'd he say?
So he misses the putt on 18 in reg, which, you know,
you can't,
he should have made that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
One of three in the final four holes that he makes, and it's over.
Okay, so Buck's going to play the audio of that, too.
After scoring, Harry and I were walking to
the
golf cart to bring us back to the 18th tee, and he said to me, well, pal, we would have taken this on Monday morning. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, we would have. So, you know, that was an easy reset. He basically said to me, look, you would have given your right arm to be in a playoff at the start of the week. So that sort of reframed it a little bit for me. And I just kept telling myself, just make the same swing you made in regulation. And I had a great drive up there. And and the rest is history.
Well, okay. So I think right before that, I thought he said, and I may be wrong about this, it wasn't in that clip, I thought he said he got in that cart to go to the playoff. And he looked at Harry, his caddy, and he said, I'm gutted. And Harry looked at him and said, dude, wake up.
Yeah.
You would have taken this if I had told you this at the start of the week. So, and then, of course, he went, you know, you heard what he said.
Yeah.
But I thought he alluded to the fact, or gave the
impression.
Kind of the impression to Harry that he was done.
Yeah. And
Harry, he turned him around.
And that's his best friend. And so maybe there's something to that.
Dude, think about those 3 shots.
Yeah.
That he hit in the playoff, like, I mean, to nut up, and that is not an easy fairway to hit. No. He did it twice, and then he has the exact same shot that he screwed up the first time on 18, and he puts it to within 3 feet.
And how about the fact that Justin Rose had put one, a very makeable birdie, and that puts the pressure on even tighter, and all he does is pull a Happy Gilmore, and someone's closer. I mean, it's insane. That is Iron Ball McGinty stuff, and I love Rory, and when you were talking about that we compare him to Tiger or to Jack, it's insane. We do this a lot in sports, and I've defended a lot of athletes for this. I thought, like, the one that comes to mind a lot is, like, when LaMarcus was here. And Rory's way better than LaMarcus. But LaMarcus Aldridge was a 20-10 multiple-time All-Star when he was here. And everyone always bitched at him because they're like, we think you should be better. And we do this all the time with really, Carmelo Anthony was this way. I mean, you can go down and down the list of great players. And when you're great, but not the greatest, we always want to bag on you for not being Kobe, for not being LeBron, for not being Gretzky, for not being Joe Montana, for not being Pat Mahomes. We love to say that you are not one of the two very best to do it. And if you're not, we cut you off at the knees. And that Rory did something that five other golfers have ever done. And yet people are still going to take shots at him. And outside of being Tiger Woods or being Jack and winning 16 or 18 of these things, that'll never go away. And that's a shame because we end up not appreciating greatness because it doesn't take the perfected form.
Well, if it's perfected form you want, you're right. You're not getting that in Rory.
Yeah.
But give me somebody who is more resilient than Rory McIlroy, dude.
It's awesome.
Think about what he went through at the U.S. Open. I mean, last year we thought maybe, you know, he walked off the green at the U.S. Open with two choked putts.
Thought it was
and
done.
We thought maybe, you know, I don't know if he recovers
He's
from
getting
this.
Up there.
He's getting up there in age. Dude, he came back this year and he won at Pebble, Sawgrass, and Augusta.
I mean, in that part of it, his kind of not downfall, but his struggles were well documented in the early parts of this most recent full swing season. You can see it. He's nearly broken as a golfer, and he's turned it all around.
And at 35, he's got five. You wonder if this frees him up a bit, takes some of the pressure off, and do we see over the next 5 years, do we see him grab three or four more of these? Well, I'm not saying Masters, I'm saying majors, and then push him into really rarefied air where you're talking maybe only three or four guys ever that have that resume.
It's possible.
Because he's got the game, and at 35, he still hits it as far as anyone. And when you said it, when the game is on, he's the best in the world.
Yeah, and he's on right now.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean.
So go win the British now. That would be freaking awesome.
How about this? Go to the British Open and hit every, have the lead.
Yeah.
Hit every green in regulation. And lose to Cam Smith by one shot and never make a putt. Because that's what happened to him the last time. Well, actually, I think that might have been 2 years ago that happened to him at the Open.
Was it?
I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, because last year.
Let me look.
Yeah, look that up, will you? I don't remember. But there's more heartbreak. Yeah. Like, just the way that this guy has been tested, the kicks to the balls that dude has taken, for him to rally from all of that and his own mistakes yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude, that's why balls jiggling. That's why I choked up watching him. I love him. I think he is so refreshing as a sports figure. He just he's just
the Cam Smith was 2022.
Yeah, so 2 years.
So Schauffele and then Harmon the last 2 years. So the Cam
Smith. Oh yeah, okay, so
Cam,
3 years.
Cam Smith, St. Andrews.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2002 or 2022.
Do you guys want to talk more about the Masters?
Dude, I could sit here all day because with the exception of the nap that unfortunately happened on my couch because
what holes was he on when you napped?
Well, we'll talk about it because I went through an emotional. I was not prepared.
You woke up to the chunk on 13.
What the hell is going on? I had that. I wasn't
jacket,
feeling
green jacket. Who gives
it? I wasn't feeling very good. I went to the doctor. I got some meds. So it's kind of one of those like medicine hazes. And I woke up and literally had a what just I had to go back and be like, no. This isn't right. Am I having a fever dream moment?
Well, let's talk some Masters. You know, we have some other stuff today. You know, we were just talking about this on Friday, but the quarterback at Tennessee is now out.
Yep. And of course, it's it's bringing the NCAA down. We'll never recover.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And Dan Lanning's involved.
Yeah, it does involve our guy.
Dan said nope. He said nope.
So we'll get to that. We've got...
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
Chauncey Billups returning to Portland on a multi-year extension.
And a very problematic press conference, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't like it.
Why?
Well, there was one part in particular that if I'm a Blazer fan, I don't have a problem with Cronin. I don't have a problem with Billups.
Do we have the audio?
We have the audio. There is something in that press conference that if I'm a Blazer fan, absolutely scares me to death. Okay. Two things, actually.
All right. We'll get to that, and the NBA playoffs are set. So stay with us, won't you? It will be a fun day of sports talk. Masters talk continues next on The Fam. Rory McIlroy has now won the career Grand Slam, something the great Arnold Palmer can never do.
No.
What, the sixth, great Tom Watson can never do.
Sixth man, right, to ever do it?
I thought he was the
sixth ever, and sixth, second in the last 50 years.
Yeah, the last being Tiger. Woods.
Tiger.
Yeah. And Tiger did it. You know, that was interesting. They showed the five guys that had done it previous and the attempts to win the career Grand Slam. And I think the most attempts was four. And Rory was 11.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's rarefied air and by far the longest and the most pressure to do it. Like Tiger and I think three of the other guys did it on their first chance. Whereas Rory, you know, the majors for Rory came really early. And now there's been this long drought. Hence the, is he ever going to get another major, let alone is he ever going to win the Masters? And here we are.
Do you know there's another guy out there who is one shy of the career Grand Slam?
Kepka, maybe?
No.
Oh, Phil.
No. Scotty? Well, Phil is, yes. Phil, but right? he's on live now. But I guess he plays in the majors. Yeah, yeah. So Phil, yeah, he needs the U.S. Just,
Phil needs the U.S. Open.
Yep.
Kepka's got five or six majors, but he's...
I think...
Because Kepka has a bunch.
Well, there's one guy I'm thinking of.
One
maybe,
Scotty?
Maybe there are more. Hold on, I'm going to go one by one here. Yeah, Kepka still needs the Masters and the Open.
Okay.
No, it's Spieth.
Oh, Spieth's right. Just one shy?
Yeah, he never won the PGA.
So he's got three total, and they're all different. Right?
Yes.
Because I don't think he has four. I think Spieth has three.
Yeah, Scottie's only won the Masters.
Hmm. That's it? Scottie's only has the Masters?
Two Masters.
Really? I thought he had a U.S. Open and a PGA Championship. Wow.
What?
Okay.
No.
Because Kepka has...
Well, I thought Wayne Gretzky had zero Stanley Cups, so let's not be surprised.
Yeah, I would have thought Kepka, but Kepka's got three PGAs, two U.S. Opens, and he's finished second at the Masters twice. I would assume it was him, but I can't say I knew Spieth. So, I'll tell you what. Spieth seems about 8 million miles away right now, but...
He is 8 million miles away.
You know, I mean...
And how about him bitching about... Did you hear him bitching about Augusta National?
Yes.
Dude.
Well, I mean, that goes back to, is there something going on with Spieth in between the years, let alone he's got the wrist?
Dude, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think he's become kind of a head case.
Yeah.
Here's the audio of Spieth.
Hold on. We have a couple of Spieth. No. So let's see. On mud balls, everyone dealing with mud balls.
Mud balls is what he was bitching about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that. Right.
On
the poor conditions at Augusta.
The ball's digging in on every shot.
Oh, it was more than that. There we go.
Be brutally honest with you, it was primarily mud balls. And it's just so frustrating because you can't talk about them here. You're not supposed to talk about them. I mean, mud balls can affect this tournament significantly. And, you know, they've done a better job. There's like less than normal. But, you know, I mean, I still had them today on those holes too. I had them yesterday on those holes. And, yeah, I was actually really surprised like on Tuesday how, you know, I mean, but I'm expecting it a lot out into the grain. The ball's digging in on every shot. Every person's having to deal with it, but the fact that you're not supposed to talk about it is a bit frustrating because it is a difference maker. It can be a difference maker in scores on some holes.
Yeah. I mean, I just think.
Yeah.
I get it. They don't want you to talk about that kind of thing, but just, dude, get over it.
We're complaining about the condition. Wait, let me guess. You're gonna go to you're gonna go to the British Open. And we're gonna talk about the wind and the tall grass. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's one thing, man. If you are, because what did he finish? Three under, something like that.
Spieth, yeah, he was top 20. Yeah,
top
maybe.
20. Look, if you end up a shot or two, and you had a, you know, something didn't go your way, but my God, man, you were eight back of the winner, and you're sitting there, and you're bitching about the mud ball. boy.
Well, he's kind of always been complaining.
Spieth,
I mean,
is just
way back when he won the U.S. Open at Chambers, he was bitching about that 18th hole.
Go comb your hair plugs and go away.
Spieth. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
He's like,
that.
Worst hole ever, or worst.
But you, a lot of people were bitching about that. But again, you won. And you're still, I don't know, Spieth to me is...
Look, it's not perfect out there.
Yeah.
I feel like Bryson just used to be that way and has moved away from that. He used to be trying to work every rules official on everything, and it's more flattering if you
Bryson,
know.
What a tool that guy is. God, I was so happy to see him shoot 75.
Well, at least he said it. He melted down.
Yeah, he did say. He was like, do you know what he ranked strokes gained approach in that tournament?
No.
This is amazing. This is going to blow you away. Because at the end... I don't know if you watched any of the posts.
Yeah, I watched most of the post.
Okay, so you saw them talking, or at least on Golf Channel, they were talking about how bad his irons were all week.
Yeah.
He was 83rd out of 90.
And he still ended up tied for fifth.
Strokes gained approach. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And that's where he should be some of his strongest, right? Yeah. Because of his length?
Yeah.
Or not necessarily.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, he just said his irons were off all week.
I'll tell you what,
and so it's a testament to him that he had the lead in the final round of the Masters while having irons like that.
Yeah.
But he just said he just needs to go back to the drawing board. And
I'll tell you what, his bunker play, my God.
He's awesome.
If you're him, just hit it into the bunker every time because his bunker play was
insane. But he's
such
a tool. Yes. Can I just say, and this pains me to say this as an American.
Go for it.
But I loved that. You know, like if you're watching that tournament, Rory, Justin Rose, and Oberg, towards the end there, love all three of them.
Yeah,
they're all great dudes, right? Guys you can get behind. Like Justin Rose might be the nicest guy out there next to Rory.
Yeah,
just really solid dudes. And then you look at the Americans at the top:
Patrick Reed, DeChambeau,
Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah,
and you go, oh. Yeah. And look, I'm pro America on the Ryder Cup.
Me too.
But God,
it's
what is that about?
It's a little tough.
It is tough.
I'm with you. I by the way, can we talk about a $500,000 meltdown from my man Ludwig?
Oof.
Oh my God, that stretch, that triple cost him $500,000. Oh my word.
The other one not quite as bad on one hole, but Shane Lowry finished round three Saturday, like tied for fourth. Dude finished outside of the top 40 after going 9 over on Sunday.
Yeah. He was terrible.
I just was watching him because for a while there, it looked like Ludwig had you got a chance.
He like Rose, looked like he was maybe going to come in the back door there.
Are you going to, and then he gets to 17, didn't go his way, and then he gets to 18, and dude, that's me. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
So is he a choke artist now? Like,
when's the last time you saw someone that good hit the lip of a bunker? Go back in, fly into another bunker, crisscross it to the other side of the green, go in the rough, and then shoot it 15 feet past the hole the other side. Well, I'm like, that is...
It was pretty uncharacteristic.
Well, I'll just say, as a fellow Swede, I'm glad to know that the Swedish crisscross, as I like to call it, is live and well at the Masters.
Well, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying you're saying this, but like that's what bugs me about what they say about Rory.
Yeah.
So no one will talk about
that. No, because it didn't.
Did Ludwig Oberg choke at the end of that tournament?
Yes.
He was tied.
Yes.
I think he was,
second.
Tied for the lead.
I want to say he was at 10.
Were all at 10 at one point. Did Rory get down to 10? I don't know if he did.
Rory
anyway.
Got down to 10, but then had gone back to 11 when he had on 15 when he had
15,
the birdie.
See, I think before he made birdie on 15, I think all three of them were at 10 under.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, I'm looking at Oberg's scorecard. I want to say after 16, he was a shot back.
Okay, he was 9.
I think he was 9 or 10, and Rory was at 11.
Okay.
So like he was a shot back, and then he bogeyed 17, and you're like, duh. That probably takes him out of it. And then came the absolute just atrocity of 18. Where it all goes to hell. And maybe that was the one where on 17, he's like, well, I'm out of it and I don't really care. But that was a rough watch. Like 18 was painful. I was like doing you're watching through your fingers because it pains you to see him do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, did he choke or what?
Yeah, it's a choke.
Did Lowry choke by not being able to even make a freaking par out there all day? Did DeChambeau choke? I mean, DeChambeau, you know, now that McIlroy's gotten over the hump, you know the guy who has kind of had the most heartbreak there is DeChambeau.
Yeah. But we don't.
We don't say it. So that's what bothers me.
And he won one recently, right? He just won the U.S.? Did he won?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, so I think because he just won that, people don't think of him as being one who was choking it or needs it.
And the other thing about DeChambeau is that's a douchebag who once said that it was a par 67 for him. And then he went out and didn't even make the cut.
Yeah.
I mean.
But now he's doing a little bit of the Phil thing, though, if you notice. Like, he's bumping fists with everybody and he's signing autographs. Someone got to him and was like, hey, dude, like.
Who he hired a PR firm.
Yeah, well, and whatever they're doing, it's working, because I do think the narrative on him has turned a lot, and you can say that it's not authentic, and that was always Phil's thing. A lot of people said Phil's nice guy thumb up back is all BS, but he knows how to play the game, and I think the doucher is following that PR model, and I think it's working.
Do you hear what he did Saturday night before the final round?
Who, DeChambeau?
Yeah.
No.
He went for a walk around his Airbnb, and there were some dudes putting in their backyard, and he just joined them. And I guess he just putted and kicked around with them for an hour and then went back to his house.
Yeah, see, that's cool. I mean,
I don't know if that's authentic or if someone's telling him to do it, but it's, you know.
I think it's authentic.
That seems more genuine because you're not doing it for camera.
Too,
that,
you know,
he's still a tool.
He might. How old is the doucher?
I don't know.
Because he was another guy that came up very young. And is it possible?
31.
He's 31. So when he hit the scene, and you're in your mid-20s, and, you know, there's the reports, you know, he had the gym workouts, and he's got porno on the big screen while he's working out with his buddies, and, you know, you come into all that money, and you're mid-20s, maybe, just maybe, let's give him some credit that maybe he's just grown up a little bit, and that he's not 25 anymore with more money than he knows what to do.
I mean, I don't know if you saw his post-presser, but he was right back to being total douchebag.
Yeah, he went with Rory and said he's not talking to me, and you know.
Well, he made a big deal out of Rory McIlroy didn't say a word to me all day. As if.
And then someone said, "Did you try?" And he responded with, "He didn't talk to me all day."
Yeah, it's just.
And there's a photo of them talking at
Rory,
the end of the round.
Rory was trying to win a golf tournament, dude. Not everybody's chatty like you.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiger wasn't chatty.
Oh no.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Can't stand him.
I get it.
At any rate,
it's a hell of a message.
We're not going to say he choked by shooting a 75.
But we should.
After having the lead after the second hole or whatever.
And he didn't just choke and then rebound. He just choked all around. He was god-awful.
All right, back to my man, Rory McIlroy, okay?
Yeah.
Can we do another segment on Rory?
Love me some Rory.
Another seggy on my man, Rory. My pick, by the way.
Yes.
I want you guys to acknowledge.
I will.
I picked him on Wednesday.
Little pick.
I do have the Rory driver cover. That I've never broken out, and I will say that I have made the switch over to the Rory driver
puppy
cover.
Dog one,
the puppy.
Yeah, I've had that in my garage for like 3 years, and I've never put it on. And I was like, you know what? That was one of those feel goods. And I went out this morning, and it was sitting there. I said, you know what?
You're just like him.
We're making the switch, me and Rory. Yeah, I choked too.
Well, let's talk about the Rory coaster. Again,
I like that.
Next.
The Rory coaster?
Well, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, here is Buck.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rory Coaster.
Indeed it was. Never seen anything quite like it.
No, that was... I mean, was that the best Masters you can remember watching?
I always am careful because you get caught in recency bias and, you know, there may have been one from 10 years ago that I'm not remembering, but I was sitting there on the couch, and with the exception of the Masters nap, which always happens, I had the inability to stay awake for an entire round, plus I was medicated. I have never been more riveted that I can remember, not just at a Masters, maybe in a tournament. I mean, that thing, from hole one... What when Rory double bogeys one?
You got an even tournament immediately.
You're just sitting there, and I'm watching it, and it was like, I'm because sometimes live events are fun to scroll on Twitter. I must have seen like 10 of these, and I thought it was the perfect. It was the Joker from Batman going, and here we go, and it was like, oh my God, it told you, they told you, buckle up, this is gonna get weird, and it did like 9 different times.
The viewership peaked at 19.5 million people.
Dude, that's Rose Bowl numbers.
That's huge.
It's monster.
That's the peak, though.
Yeah.
Rating was 13.8. Mm-hmm. So it did really well.
Yeah.
Rory's the first Masters champion with 4 double bogeys ever. And he tied for the largest deficit after round one by a winner.
7, right?
He was 7 back.
Yep.
And that's, again, it's just his own fault. Like, he made 2 double bogeys on the
15
back
and
nine.
17, right?
I don't remember.
It started.
One was 15.
One was definitely 15.
One was definitely 15, and I think
and the other was
16
or 17.
He went from 4 under 3 back to even par in a blink of an eye. And if he just doesn't do that, he walks away with this tournament.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was chaotic. The wild swings, huge shots. Dude, he hit some. I can't remember one that matched that, because the one that comes to mind is Tiger's 44-year-old or 45-year-old
His comeback
Tiger.
Masters.
Yeah, the comeback Masters. But I don't remember anything about it other than just really loving him winning that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Was that even close? I don't even remember. Was it close?
Did he get Koepka? Was that who he beat?
God, I don't. Like, again.
See, it's funny. The one I remember about Tiger is maybe 08 or 09, the U.S. Open with Rocco. Like, I remember.
Because they played the whole next Monday.
I remember that.
Well, that was Torrey Pines, wasn't it?
Yeah, I do think that was Torrey Pines.
Where he had the leg injury.
And they are just. I mean, full on duking it out. And I don't know, like I said, it can all blend together, but I don't know. I'm going to remember that. And you know, you may not remember all the details, but someone's going to say, hey, what were you doing when Rory was winning the Masters? I'll be like, dude, I was sitting there on the edge of my seat watching the whole damn thing.
And watching him double one.
Yep.
Chili dip it into the water on 13.
Yep.
Miss the putt on, well, I mean, if we're looking at the final round only, he missed putts on 15, 16, and 18.
Yeah.
That all were quite makeable.
And 17, the birdie should have been an eagle to end it. Or no, that was...
What?
That was 15, right? The eagle that should have
ended. That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah. He missed the eagle putt.
Yeah.
He still made birdie so that he got what he needed there, but yeah, that was a makeable... I mean, dude,
yeah,
it was
right.
5 feet.
15, 16, and 18 were all
15,
missed
15, 16, and 18, he missed all three
it
of those
sealed
putts.
It.
He chili dips the ball on 13, which is something I would do. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
So that was mine.
But then, I think the flip side of it is, He hit some shots that I will... Tiger has a lot of these where it's like just iconic shots. Rory hit at least three of those.
Yeah, and the final four holes.
He hit two of them on 15. One Saturday, the 6-iron on Saturday, and one the 7-iron on Sunday. Mm-hmm. His shot on 17 under, again, unimaginable pressure yesterday was amazing. His shot on 18 is probably the one that will be go down as the most iconic in the playoff, the shot on 18 where he stuck it in there.
He had a great one on 18 in regulation to give himself the birdie putt to win the hole.
Well, he had one earlier, like through the trees, kind of. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Well, he had the sand shot on 18 in regulation.
Yeah, to set up should have been the birdie putt to seal it.
I'm talking about just, it was a par putt.
Oh, a par putt to seal it.
I'm just talking about iconic shots that he hit. There were so many. Like, dude, how many times did he get in the trees and you think, oh boy, here comes bogey? And he would just go up and over him. Yep. I mean, he hit some incredible shots out of the tree.
One where he swung so damn hard and it hits the limb. And the announcer's even like, oh, it got a limb. And you're like, oh, crap. No, it was perfect. Landed like 7 feet from the hole. He caught a limb and it didn't matter. It still went. And they were like, look how hard he's swinging here. Because he's like, hey, chances are this is going to catch a limb. And I don't care. I'm going to hit it through it.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So I fell asleep. As he was going to the back, I remember him going into the back nine. And I'm sitting there being like, all right, he's got this, weathered the storm. I'm like, that's cool. And I'm laying there and I kind of fall asleep and I wake up and he's bogeying 14. And I wake up and I see him miss the putt and I'm like, what? And then I look at the scoreboard and I'm like, what? No. I literally had a moment where I'm sitting there being like, that isn't correct. And then, of course, it's right to the phone. I'm like, scroll, 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 scroll. And then going back and watching highlights, I was asleep for like 25 minutes. What the hell happened?
Well, you fell asleep at a key part of the golf course. That's part of it. Because on 11, you didn't see it. You were asleep.
Yeah, I went back and looked it. And went back
on 11, he almost put it in the water.
Yeah.
He got pretty lucky that it didn't go in the water. And then he still made bogey.
Yeah. And then he went bogey, par, double, bogey. And I wake up for the last of the, I'm like, how do you erase that lead? I'm like, I'm literally like, how long was I out for? It was a Rip Van Winkle moment. The golf nap is, it's all powerful. And you just wake up and you're like, and then I got the.
Hopefully you learned a lesson that you need to go to sleep much earlier, fella, because
you can control your golf nap.
I don't really golf. I don't nap during golf.
Oh, I love.
I'm into it.
I will tell you, the golf nap and the NFL nap on Sunday might be the greatest naps of all time. To fall asleep during a football game, you fall asleep somewhere around third quarter at halftime, and you wake up at the start of the fourth. It's like perfect timing. So normally the golf nap from like 10 to 14 is perfect. I just happened to miss one of the epic collapses of all time, only then to see the resurrection.
What's the old saying is, the Masters doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you just managed to just doze right off.
For like 3-4 holes. What the hell happened?
Well, when he won, it didn't seem as much joy as much as it was pure relief.
Yes.
And I saw an interview with Tommy Fleetwood, who's good buddies with Rory.
Oh, yeah. He was giving him big hugs afterwards.
And Fleetwood said, he said, you know, a lot of people think that the U.S. Open last year did a number on Rory, or the Open against Cam Smith, or, you know, there are other tournaments he's blown that, you know, they think have done a number on Rory. He said, none of it mattered like this tournament.
Yeah.
He said, this is the one Rory always wanted. Yeah. And like I said, I can't say I knew that he wanted it this bad.
And like I said, maybe this one, because I saw that, maybe this one frees him up. Maybe this gets a little career bounce back here, and he gets a couple here before the age of 40.
Well, he's certainly playing well.
Yep.
But I don't know.
And can I also, kudos, there was like a 7-minute stretch where I think Jim Nantz said like three things. One of my favorite parts about golf, especially the Masters, is when they win, everyone just shuts up and you get to see the friends, the family, everyone. You get to see. I love that no one really talks. And it's one of the most unique celebrations in sports because you just get to be a fly on the wall and see all the emotion. That's like, that might, outside of the ending there and the putt, just seeing that those 7 minutes where he finally says, I got to go get a green jacket. After 30 hugs where he's like, all right, I really got to go. I think someone from Augusta was like, hey, come on, sign the scorecard. That was...
It is good TV.
That was amazing.
It was
television.
Good producing and good restraint by the by the broadcaster. Just lay out and let the moment do its thing.
They did
it's
that
awesome.
when Tiger won.
Yeah.
Back when.
Yeah. Yep. Hugging his dad. And
yeah, that was.
Yeah. His little daughter there. And just, it was just, the whole thing was awesome.
It's pretty cool, man. Yep. Pretty, pretty cool.
Pretty good.
The Rory coaster. And he did it.
Yep.
Okay. Are you guys ready to move on to some other substantive items here today on Sports Talk?
Sports.
Are you? I
mean, not really, but we will.
It's like did you get done playing golf today? You look like you played.
I played today. There you go. I was out there channeling my inner Rory.
You felt it.
Chili dipping into the creek, baby.
I'm just going to channel my Ludwig next time I'm out there. I'm going to crisscross that green, and someone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, that one's from my countrymen. My good old Swede.
That guy's going to win some majors.
Yes, he is.
He's awful
good.
He's
really good.
That was only his second time playing in that tournament.
Yep, he'll be just fine.
So I think what did he finish?
I think he ended up finishing like sixth.
And he was second last year, right?
Yeah, so he's two top tens and two Masters appearances.
Yeah, seventh because a couple guys tied for fifth, so.
How about Patrick Reed just making it on 17?
And he didn't even know it. He's like looking around and then he does the, is that in? Yeah. Someone's like, yeah, dude.
You made it, bro.
That's in.
All right. Josh Heupel with some stones. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, we were just talking about this on Friday, but the quarterback at Tennessee was asking for a renegotiated NIL deal, and they have now booted him. Well, they didn't really boot him, but they basically just said,
no, moved on.
You're no longer our starter, and so bye, bitch.
Yeah. First time we've seen this, and honestly, it's the first time we've seen this really come to a head publicly. I mean, certainly everything from Damian Martinez to everyone that's left. You know, we've seen guys say that the Jaden Rashada, the collective, promised me this. They didn't give it to me. We've seen guys leave for greener pastures. What we haven't seen is someone that seemed to be the future of a program, by the way, that sued for them to be able to pay this kid out of high school. Remember, the entire state of Tennessee sued the NCAA on behalf of Nico to say, F you, dude, we can do what we want. We want to give this kid money before he ever gets here. This is what we're going to do. And by all means, he gets there the first year. They make the College Football Playoff. He's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but bright future. And then he basically goes into December and tells his coaches he needs more money, and then his dad is quietly calling around to every other school in the country, including Oregon, saying, hey, give me more money and I'm gone. Tennessee gets wind of it, goes to him and is like, hey, man, what the hell are you doing? He says, pay me. They say no, and he sits out practice. I mean, this is – I know we've seen a lot of NIL drama. This is Jerry Springer level.
Takes the cake.
This takes the cake.
So he didn't show up for practice, and then Heupel was like, that's it.
Yeah, we're done.
And he said that. He said – once he wasn't there, it was like, you're out.
And wasn't he there initially, though? And then he just, it was the last practice before the spring game, and that's when he did it.
Because he had been telling Tennessee since the bowl game, I want more money. And Tennessee was like, let's talk, but look, we're giving you $2.5 million.
Apparently he threatened, or his dad threatened, to opt out before they lost to Ohio State.
Before they lost to Ohio State. He wasn't going to play in the game. So already Tennessee was a little pissy. And then
what an opportunity.
He calls people, including Oregon, Nico's dad, who, you know, this is one of the problems. At least in the NFL and Major League Baseball, you have certified agents. So many times with these college and high school kids, you either have crappy cousins, aunts, uncles, or in this case, you got your dad who's just out there doing it for you. And certain cultures, the parent holds a lot of sway. And if you've been around a lot of Polynesian players, family is above everything. So people being like, oh, you need to get rid of your dad. In certain cultures, especially that one, that's hard to do. So I guess his dad calls around. His dad calls Oregon, says, hey, $4 million and we're coming to Oregon. And Lanning's like, nah, we're okay. And then Lanning calls Heupel at Tennessee and goes, hey, just so you know, dude, your quarterback is soliciting his services while he's practicing with you. And Heupel's like, yeah, I know they were doing this crap before we were playing in the College Football Playoff. Goes to Nico, probably says something. Nico no shows, and Tennessee rightfully says, dude, we're not doing this crap. Good luck to you. And now you know, he's on the open market, and we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, there's a couple of potential landing spots for him, which we will get to when we return on The Fan.